We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about what? Prayer. Because in this season, we'll be getting ready to pray. As the year draws to an end, you are getting ready to pray. You have your prayer list of the things you want to ask God for 2017. And then, so we will start talking about prayer today and then Thursday, just to get us there. A little bit, give us some reminders. Thursday, the next week, Thursday. Before we go discussing the theme of the year that is going to be our focus of teaching in 2017. But now we want to talk about prayer. Let's look at what our Lord Jesus said about prayer. First of all, he taught us that the focus of prayer is the Father. Our prayer, when we pray, we have only one audience, and that is who? The Father. That prayer is not a show. Prayer is not to demonstrate how spiritual we are. Prayer is not something that we do as outward show of worship. Prayer is going to seek audience with one person, and that is God the Father. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he makes it very clear. He said, when you pray, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. He said, pray like this. Our Father, who art what? In heaven. So he says, you direct your prayer to our Father, who is in heaven. And in John chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask, who? Most assuredly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask, who? The Father, in my name, he will give it to you. In verse 24, he says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. By the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. 26, at that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that, that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from the Father. So the focus of our prayer is the Father. It's God the Father. When you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. The focus is not the human being. The focus is not your problem. When we pray, we shouldn't focus on our problem. We should focus strictly on God the Father, because we are addressing him. Amen. I said amen. Now, the other thing that he said about prayer is that we must be straight. We must let the Father know exactly what we are asking. But before I talk about that, prayer is not complete until you have a response from God. Prayer is not complete until you have what? A response from God. Prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. And while I'm talking about this, I want to warn us very, very strictly. Please, do not go and seek a voice. If you do, devils will help you. Always, they will always help you. There's no question of that about that. God will speak to you through many means, even when you study your Bible. Sometimes you are just driving to walk. Sometimes even when you are walking. But God will speak to you. Praise the Lord. Sometimes through messages. Sometimes when you are doing your family prayer. Different ways that God can communicate that response to you. So you mustn't go and be waiting for a voice. Sometimes you just know within you that this is the answer. You just know it. Sometimes it's experience. Things start happening And then they say, oh, wow, so this is it. But it's showing you from experience what you should do. Let me give you an example. As I woke up and I was saying to the Lord, what do you want to teach? And then my spirit, my mind was saying, teach on prayer. Teach on prayer. And I came to the office, and as it will happen, today was a very busy day for me. Me and Chuka, we didn't have breathing space. From morning when we came, we were going to this new site. You know, these people will call us, we'll go there. All manner of things were happening, and we had this meeting with California, a lot of stuff, And you would not believe, about after 12 to 12, I wasn't sure what to teach here. And I said to myself, okay, I need to study my Bible first to hear from God what to teach. And immediately I opened where I stopped. The first heading there is the Lord's teaching on prayer. Tell me, wouldn't you know what God is saying? What he's saying is you teach on what? Prayer. Because that's what my spirit was telling me. And that's what I saw. Exactly, Matthew says, the topic in that version was the Lord's teaching on prayer. So I said, okay, I'm going to start with what the Lord teaches on prayer. So well, I'm giving it as an example that God will speak to you. Every one of us, God speaks to us differently. The way God will speak to me may not be the way God will speak to you. So you don't have to copy somebody. You just have to be yourself. And if you're self-sufficiently, you are going to find out how God communicates with you. Some people will give them dreams. You know, but don't seek for a voice. What did I say? Please, that's dangerous. It is totally dangerous. If you start seeking for a voice, you will start hearing voices because demons will know. They start talking to you. So don't seek for a voice. Just relax and be yourself. But until you get a response, you are not done. You see, when I'm eating something in the mouth, I'm not done until I have chewed it and swallowed it. Until you have a response, you have a responsibility to pray. Again, how long do you pray? It depends on your maturity and how you have developed your relationship with you. Because some people will know what God is talking in a few minutes. Because of practice. Some people who have never bothered about how God talks to them may not even know when God is talking to them. So sometimes it will take you longer because of your developing your relationship with God. You know, children, when they are growing, if you are closer to them, they start to recognize your voice. Begin to recognize your voice and begin to recognize your face and begin to recognize your features first before they can now come to you. And the more you relate with them, the more they are able to discern who you are from another person. So the first person the child will know is the mother, or sometimes the father later, but the mother, because that's the one that carries the baby all the time. And when they grow older, the mother, because the mother gives him fish in the kitchen and meat in the kitchen when you are not there. So he goes there and says, Mom, and Mom said, come, must come. Say, you want this one, give him. You are not there. So relationship makes you understand somebody's voice more than others. So as you relate with God, you are able now to begin to discern more easily how God talks to you. Again, most of the things that God will do with us is not dramatic. We associate God with things that are dramatic. God is always supernatural, but God is not always dramatic. Let me repeat it again. God is always what? Supernatural, but God is not always dramatic. We think if chairs don't fall apart and you know this light is not doing whoom, 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 that's not God. Most things that God does is not dramatic. Let me ask you a question. Isn't God keeping you alive? Eh? How many times did your car shake on the road? Is God not walking in your life? How many times were you shaking from head to toe and then somebody comes and say, God is walking? If God will walk with your shaking, you can't walk. If you go to work, they'll send you home because you are still shaking. So most things that God will do with us, and this is serious, this is how we miss God. This is how we miss God. If you pray and you don't feel something, you think God didn't answer you. If you pray and you didn't hear, you're looking for a prophet to tell you something. That's what drives us to this kind of junk. God is not always dramatic, but he's always supernatural because it's a spirit. Anything that's spiritual is supernatural because natural is the natural realm. Supernatural is the spiritual realm. So God is always supernatural, but it's not always dramatic. Occasionally he can be, but not always. Are you getting what I'm saying? God works in your life all the time. Am I right? How many of them is dramatic? Hasn't God answered some of your prayer? Done something for you quietly? You didn't even, but he still the answer. The same way now, if we can change our thinking and realize that it mustn't be dramatic, then perhaps we can really start working with God better. And to be honest with you, most of the things I've seen God done is done when nothing really happens. I've seen God heal when it looks like nothing happens. So it's not always dramatic, but it's always what? Supernatural. Why is it always supernatural? He's a spirit. So what it does is not a natural thing. It does things that is beyond the natural. That's why it's supernatural. But it's not always that. Most 80%, in fact, 90% of the time, God is not dramatic. So the way God will talk to you, in all probability, may not be dramatic. May not be. So if you have that mindset, maybe you hear God better than you have been hearing. But what I'm saying is that prayer will require that God will give you a response. It's important that you know this. And until you get that response, you are not done. You are not done. Go back and say, Lord, I've not had you on this issue. I still don't know your mind on it. I still don't know what you want me to do. I still don't know your response to this. And when you know it, that's when faith comes. Because now you know what God has said. That's when your faith really comes. Because faith comes from hearing the word of God. So before then, you won't have faith for it. Because you're not sure really what God is saying. Amen? I said amen. 2 Corinthians 12:8. Second Corinthians 12:8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Verse 9. And he said unto me, you see what I mean by prayer? I besought the Lord how many times? Thrice. Then he was able to say, this is what God said to me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, see, because of that response, Paul's faith was not able to stand in that situation. So, see what he now said. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory now in my infirmities because I know what God has told me, that his grace is sufficient to handle this. He said, I will rejoice in it. It's no more something to bother me. So, that's what happens when we get a response from God. Like I said, it must not be, you mustn't hear like Paul said, it might come from things working in a different way, and all of a sudden you realize that, oh, wow, okay, this is the way God is handling this thing. So it's a different strokes for different people. Amen? So we need to understand that this is very important. This is very critical. Until you hear from God, until you know what Job said, I will stand before him. I want to know what he has to say to me. You must be able to do that. Amen? So first of all, we said prayer is to the Father. Prayer is not a show. Prayer is not something you do so that people, God is impressed with the way you talk. That's not prayer. Prayer is you are talking to God the Father, and you are discussing your issues with him, and then you want him to respond to you. Do you think that God will respond? Yeah? Of course he will respond. Why should God respond? Yeah, why? Why should you expect that God should answer? That's right. He said, if you ask, I'll give you. He said, I'm the God that answered what? Prayer. He said, by nature, I want to answer you. Let me ask you people, just so that we can relate with this better. If you have a child, there was a day we finished service here, and my granddaughter was talking here, and I said, Amara, this your shoe looks like it's big for your leg. And then she came nearer. Said, Grandpa, I like sneakers. Get me sneakers. What do you think I would do? Get her sneakers. Get her sneakers. I called the mom. I said, my granddaughter needs sneakers. He said, Daddy, she. I said, no, I'm getting her. Said, you know, the joy gives me to get it. The joy. Man, I wish you wanted four. You know, the joy you have, just the joy, the pleasure it gives you. It's amazing. And can you imagine you talking to God and say, Daddy, you know, I need so. Now, if I could react like that to my granddaughter, how does God react to us? And God said, I'm a father too. He said, how do you think I will not give you good things? When you people are evil, and you know how to give your own children what? Good things. Why should I not give you? So why should God not talk to you? Why should he not tell you something? He knows you're in need of something. Why is he not going to talk to you? And he loves us with an everlasting love. So we must expect an answer. Amen? I said amen. All right. So again, make your request known. Do not try to blemish it with unnecessary words. It's not necessary. My granddaughter came and said, Grandpa, get me sneakers. I understood exactly what she wanted. She didn't want running shoes. She didn't want, she made it specific. Get me what? Sneakers. Not slippers. Not slippers. You know, if you say that from where they come from, maybe they get you slippers. But I understood it very well. Very well. Because I'm not from their town. Very, very well. If you tell anybody from their town, sneakers, they might end up getting you slippers. Did I mention any town? But you know where we are. Is that the Kurobia and Biri? Two of them are deceptive. Kurobia and Biri, they sent two of them pins. Anybody knows where Biri is? It's not on the map. Don't even try. Don't even try. So you should make your request direct. Brother Dan, brother, can you come here? I want you to make a request from me. Stand there so they see us now. I want you to make a direct request from me. Let's just think of something that's hypothetical, you know. Don't ask me of my car, I won't give you. So just make a direct request. Let me assume I'm your dad. You want to make a direct request. Can you show this all of us? What it means to make a direct request without trying to blemish it and do this. Is that a direct request? Now, what is missing in this request? There's further question I will ask him. What type of suit? Because there are many types of suits. If you said that I need a suit and I go to where they are selling suits, I'd be wondering, what type of suit do I get him? And what size? Now, can we repeat that? Can we repeat that? Okay, let's go ahead. Then, two buttons. How many buttons? Three button suit. In fact, the way you are looking at me, I might buy it for you. Three button suit. Three. Okay, can somebody criticize this? Can somebody make a comment on this? Do you think it's accurate enough? Do you think it's detailed enough? I think it is.
I should have added cashmere suit.
Okay. Now, if he sees it, will he be able to identify it? Yeah. Okay. When he said, "Buy me suit," vague. But you know that's what we do. We say to God, bless me. And God is saying, which bless me? I always encounter this when I ask people, I say, you need a baby. He said, yeah. What do you want? He said, God knows. I said, no, you won't get anything. Because you are the one that comes to pray. Not God that comes to pray to you. You are the one that left your house and decided to come and ask something. Now, is it not God? It's not God that decides it. If you don't want a baby, God won't bother you. But what baby do you want? They say, Pastor, just anyone. I say, no, you won't get anything. You have to specify what you want. And a lot of Christians have not learned it yet. They think that God can decide it for me. Brethren, he will not. He will what? No. Because you are the one that decided to come. And what he told is, make your own request known to me. It's not come, let me make the request for you. No. Jesus said, I won't pray the Father for you. You go and make your own request. Thank you, Pastor. Brother. Thank you. God bless you. Now, let's read the Matthew 6, 7. Matthew 6, 7. When you pray, use not what? Vain repetitions. What is vain repetition? Too many words just talking. Vain repetitions. Can we have another translation and see how they translated vain repetitions? When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. What's babbling? Eh? Eh? Just talking. Repetition, repetition, and repetition. Now, does it mean you can't repeat your prayer? You can repeat your prayer. But what it's talking about, it is not the multitude of words that make your prayer work. So don't do that. He said they think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. He said, don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. So what he's saying is, just make your request known. Don't try to. You don't push God. You don't harass God. You don't do stuff like that. Sometimes we want to hurry God. We think, are you sleeping or what? And all that kind of attitude, I don't see that the scripture backs it up. We should be confident in the faithfulness of God. So he says, don't go there blabbing. Okay, Dan, can you come in? So now you stand and let's watch him do what we do normally. He's asking for coat. Aya, go ahead. And then let's see blabbing. After you okay, we'll come. What? Let's blab. Just.
I think Christmas is it's Sunday, right? I need something like a suit. Something like suit. I even done cheeky, you know, something good.
Okay. Is that blabbing? Yeah. Okay, come. Thank you. Okay, come and try. Let's see who will get it right. Let's see who will get this thing right today. Somebody has to get it right. Blabbing is, I don't know, okay, but let's just try. See if you can imagine a scenario, something. Just ask and blab, just for the purpose of demonstration.
Daddy, I don't know if you have the time. There's something I want to tell you. I've been trying to tell you this for like 3 days now. But whenever I want to tell you, I keep thinking whether you will agree or not. But I have to tell you, if you want to do it, you do it. But if you don't want to do it, I will still accept it.
Is this blabbing? Is it blabbing? Yes. Correct. Okay, thank you. That's blabbing. That's blabbing, right? That's talking words that are totally useless. Going round and round the circle, you haven't said anything useful. And then the other repetition is, Jesus, Amen, Jesus, Amen, Amen, Jesus, Amen, Amen, Jesus, Amen. Then the other repetition is reading Psalms over and they say read Psalm 7 times. Psalm 21 times. How many of you read it with candle? Thank God you stop. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Don't worry about anything. You know, that's the first law of prayer. Don't worry about what? Anything. He said, be careful for nothing. Can you tell your neighbor that? Nothing. He said, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. It's an old Queen's English of saying, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. You know, but what he's talking is, don't worry. That's the old Victorian age way of saying, don't worry. The newer translations will let you understand what he's talking about. Don't worry about it. Don't fidget about anything. But in everything, by prayer and what? Supplication with thanksgiving. Let what? Your request be made known to God. So you simply make your request. Now, prayer, supplication. What's supplication? You read it, you didn't clear to find out. What is supplication? You read the Bible, you didn't care to find out what it means. Those of you who have King James and think we read it in heaven, tell us what it means, King James people. Through prayer, what? Supplication is not intercession. Yeah, intercession can be supplication, but it's not basically. What is supplication? Honestly, like you really need it. Now, can I pause here? And I want everyone to hear me. If you don't have a desire, that prayer is wasted. A lot of the time, we Christians pray casual prayers. It's not by yelling and killing yourself that you show really. It is deep desire. How badly do you need this thing? It's very important. Very, very important. And the reason we don't have that is that we're not too sure whether God will really answer or not. So our desire is not really so. We're praying and having second plans, and you know, our mind is not even there. That's why we see God with all our heart. You don't do that half-heartedly. You do it with all your heart. And let me tell us something. How badly do you want to breathe? How badly do you want to breathe? If you want it that badly, like you want to breathe, you'll always get it from God. The thing that is the problem is that we mostly, I don't want to use the wrong word. I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. But most of the time in our prayer, we're very casual. We're really very casual. We don't show that deep desire for God to do this thing for me. Knowing that He's the only one who can. That's also exercise of faith in Him. If you really trust God with all your heart that He's the only one who can do this, all your heart will be towards Him doing it. But casual prayer is a prayer that we say because we are not sure whether God will do it or not. But you know, they say, let us pray about it. So we start praying. And then you go for 9 minutes. They say, pray, 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 pray. Everybody pray, pray, pray. You are wasting your time. But as we go. If it's important to you, nobody will be pushing you to pray. If it's really important, you will be awake. You are not kidding. You will be awake. I tell people, I say, do you know I do 9 minutes, but not the way you do it. I don't do night vigil for doing sick. When I want to do night vigil, I don't usually want to. I don't. I do one night vigil when the Spirit of God stirs me up and I have a deep desire for something. I don't sleep. I will pray and pray, wake up praying, continue to pray. Pray and pray until I hear from God. That's the way if I'm keeping awake, there's that deep desire that keeps me awake. There's nothing like sleeping. It doesn't even come because the desire is so strong. There's nothing like sleeping. And I don't look at time as I've stayed 5 hours. No. When I'm tired, I go to, you must learn this. When you are tired, please stop. Go to bed. Amen? If you are tired, please, what? Even when you are reading your Bible, if you are tired, stop. Stop pretending. Just go and rest. When you are in a better state of mind, then you can continue. So supplication is a deep desire. And I'm telling you that many people do not have it when they pray. And the reason is that there is not this clinging to God with all your heart and saying, Lord, except you do this, nobody else. I don't have any other God. I don't have any other way this is happening. You do it. That, it shows faith in God. Problems we have, challenges we have, we really don't go to God the way we should. I was telling someone, I said, how can someone have a problem? And they say, come and pray. It's not there. Sometimes I wonder, is he serious? Come and pray. He's not there. Yet he has a deluge of problems. They come and pray. It's not there. Are you serious? Have you ever needed money and you want to go and borrow it? You go early in the morning and wait for the person. Immediately he gets up before he goes to work. He says, please, I came to see you. What drove you is desire. Because you know if this man doesn't lend you the money, your landlord is throwing you out. So you go very early and wait for him. If they say he's in the shower, you stay. You don't frown. When he comes out, you are so good. Even though you know you are not very good, but you're at least very good. You are, the desire will make you do stuff. How badly do you want the answer? That's the key thing again. And I'm telling you, many Christians don't have desire. They play casually because their faith is not strongly rooted in God. They have faith in other things they think can resolve their problem. So when they go to God, it's watered down. And that divided faith, it won't work. It won't work. When you put your faith on God alone, boy, you'll be desperate. You'll be desperate. And it's the same way you deal with the devil. If you really want the devil to leave you alone, you are going to be, you give him, he won't have any option but to go. You'll be so determined, he will know that this man, there's no opportunity here. You leave him no, look, he will know that there is no option, there's no iota of option than to what? Get out of here. Because if you give him one chance, he will take it. So that's why I say, by prayer and supplication, have a desire for it. So question is, how badly do you want this thing? Mark 10:46. And they came to Jericho. Did I get it right? Okay. And they came to Jericho. And he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude of people. Blind Bartimaeus. A great multitude of people. A great what? Multitude of people. Multitude is a lot of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. I want you to see what desire does. When we pray, we should really show desire. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But the man was desperate. He cried the more, a great deal. Man, that was the cry of somebody totally desperate. He said, you can't stop me. This one chance? Are you kidding me? He's passing by. Now, if he didn't trust that Jesus will heal him, that this is the only hope he has. You know, when they say stop, he will stop. So maybe I will see. It's okay. After I've been carrying this thing for a long time, let me manage it like that. But when they say, stop, you are disturbing us, the man cried a great deal. He yelled. But he cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have what? And Jesus stood still. Brethren, I'm telling you people, that's why we say we prayed and nobody stood still. Because the slightest discomfort we have will stop. Let me ask it. How can you have humongous challenge and they say, come and pray, you're not there? You're not desperate enough. If you're desperate, take every opportunity to pray. You go and pray. You go, you drag yourself, you say, I'm going to pray. Because if God does, except the Lord delivers, except the Lord does the same, I don't have another answer. I will seek him until I hear from him. Slightest discomfort will stop. Slightest thing the devil puts on our way. The man that taught me Christianity gave a testimony. He said they had a prayer meeting one day. And it snowed so badly in that place. It snowed so bad, there were very few that came. He said, then he told them to come to the altar to pray. While they were there, the Lord appeared. It was dramatic what happened to them. Because those ones were desperate enough. Say, snow cannot stop me. I need God to get this thing done. Jesus showed up. The things that stop us, I can't even begin to call up. Sometimes, you're just eating eba and you are so tired. And you lie down there and snow. Your wife cooked very good rice and this. You eat 4 plates of rice. And then you snore there. Praise the Lord. I said, come and see my brother. Come and see my brother pray here when he's this. When he prays, I enjoy it. He prays with desperation. It's like if he sees God, I'm going to grab him with 2 hands. But I keep watching him. I say, this is wonderful. This is awesome, man. This is charging me up. I want to pray. He said, well, he prays. He prays with desperation. That's called supplication. Now, can I ask you a question? Can you think of the things that have stopped you from praying? That doesn't even amount to anything. Think of it. Conveniences, leisures. If you want to walk with God, let me tell us something. You must put your leisure somewhere. The Bible says we sow in tears. If you don't want to sow in tears, you are not ready to reap. It will. I'm not kidding you. If you don't want to sow in tears, you are not ready. So, small thing that will happen, you give up. That's not what we saw here. Supplication is desperation. And that's what makes Jesus to stand still. Because he sees the heart that is seeking him with all his heart. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Many of you won't talk. I came to your backyard today. Praise the Lord. At least you said this one. Am I correct? Huh? Let not your heart be troubled. All you need to do is correct this thing. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, see the people who were stopping him now. See what they are now telling him. They say, be what? Of good comfort, rise. He's calling you now, come. These were the very people who were trying to stop him. And he casting away his garment. You know, I hear that in those days, blind people had their garment that they wear. Yeah, and they say that virgins have their garment. They have virgins' garment. That was why Tamar, when she was defied, said to the brother, he said, what will I do in Israel now? My garment is gone. So if I step out, I can't wear it again. So the man threw away his garment. He said, I'm done with this thing. Because this is why it's happening. See faith at work. Threw it away. And then casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, see again, wanting him to say exactly what he wanted. Now, didn't you know that Jesus knew he was blind? Okay. With what will thou that I should what? Do today. Let me hear you. Tell me what you want. The man, they say, well, you know, I know you're blind now, so I come. No, he said, okay, you're here. Huh? Okay, what do you want? Don't you think that God will ask you now, what do you want? You're here. Then the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive what? My sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way now, your faith has made you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to hear this point I want to make. I pray that God will help you understand it. If you get this point, the rate of success of your prayer will improve a lot. Successful prayer is always, not sometimes, predicated upon God's mercy. Always, not sometimes. Successful prayer is always, not sometimes, predicated upon what? God's mercy. If you miss this point, the answer is not coming. Mark 11:25-26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. That your Father in heaven may also, what? Forgive your trespasses. Why is Jesus tying this to prayer? Because prayer is predicated on mercy. And if you don't show mercy, you deny yourself mercy before God. Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. James 2:13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiced against judgment. Jesus said, because this prayer, successful prayer, is based on mercy, and you need mercy here. You can't deny somebody mercy and come before God to demand mercy. Because with what measure you measure to others, it is the same measure it will be what? Measure to you. For whatsoever a man sow it, will reap it. You are the one that denied them mercy, so you are the one that denied yourself also mercy. If I go to God, if I say you don't deserve mercy, what I'm saying to God is that I too, it's not God's business, it's you that said he doesn't deserve mercy, so I don't deserve mercy. Because we're all human beings. It's you, nobody else. So that's why Jesus was saying things like this. Let me show you an example. Matthew 9:27. And when Jesus departed hence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have what? Mercy on us. Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have what? Come on, have what? And when he was come, I said Matthew 15:22, it's not 28. 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, what? Have mercy on me, O Lord. Go to Matthew 17:15. Lord, have what? Mercy on my son, for he's lunatic and so vexed. Matthew 20:30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us. So all these people were appealing to the mercy of God. Because prayer is predicated on divine mercy and nothing else. Now, our Lord Jesus nailed it very well. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9. We're going to read Luke chapter 18, verse 9. He told his next story to some who were complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance and looked down their noses at common people. Let me read the New King James. Okay. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own what? They thought they were great guys, man. Talk of holiness, that's where. And scorned. Self-righteousness will make you automatically scorn people. You don't have to think about it. The fact that you think you are self-righteous, that you are good, is an automatic comparison that is working in your mind already. Already. Because the reason you see yourself good is because there's always that comparison that this person is what? Not good. You always be doing that, unconsciously be doing that. So it says, confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else, verse 10. That if somebody is scorning everyone else, what righteousness does he have? Huh? I'm asking. He thinks he's good, but he's scorning, even that scorning people, isn't that evil? That's pride. So two men went to the temple to pray. Please, I want to show you that prayer is predicated on mercy. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. You know what? Standing by himself is that he went far away from the other man. I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat. I don't sin. I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax what? Collector down there. Then he hasn't finished. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. So Lord, you see, so I don't need mercy. I qualify. This is my qualification. That's what I brought to you so you can now perform. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be what? Come on, church, be what? Did you see those people appealing to divine mercy? Appealing to divine mercy. And the Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Appealing, he said, be merciful to me, for I'm a sinner. And then let's hear the result from the Lord himself. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Self-righteousness is pride. It's exalting myself. When we come to God, we must humble ourselves. Look at Luke 16, 15. And say that kind of attitude stinks before God. He said, you are those who justify yourselves before me. But God knows your heart. He said, all these things you pretend you are good, God knows your what? Your heart. God sees what others don't see. For what is highly esteemed among men is what? An abomination in the sight of God. That kind of a human being exalting himself that is good. Who made him the judge? How did he come to the point? How can I come to the point of where I sit on the seat of judgment and decide that I'm good? Where did I get that commission? So Jesus said, if you exalt yourself, you will be what? So I want to ask you, how can such a man's prayer be answered when God says, I'm against him every day? He will be humbled. But I'm telling you, a lot of people today think that it is their self-righteousness, that prayer is based on self-what? It's not true. I will show you more scriptures. Now, you know our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, pride is the nature of Satan, right? Do you know our Lord Jesus detested self-righteousness, never touched it, even though he was sinless? I was asking the Lord, I said, what's the difference between the obedience of the Pharisees and the obedience of Jesus? He was showing me. He said, they're not the same at all. He said, the Pharisees did their own to be seen of what? Men. He said, but my son did his own to be seen of the Father. Not to be seen. He said, I don't need all this honor from me. Mine is the Father. It's my Father. This people is me. And a lot of other things he showed me there. Then, let me show you our Lord Jesus. Luke 18, 19. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me what? Church, I'm showing you something. Put it up. Luke 18, 19. Your destiny is gone. Okay, I'll read it for you. Luke 18, 19. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me what? Good. But you know he's sinless. So when they attributed righteousness to him and said, you are good, he said, don't. That's the character of the Pharisees. They want to be seen of men that they are good. I don't want. Don't give me that. But when you go to a Pharisee and say you are good, you know what he does? He will. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And they brought it. Do you know that was demonic temptation? Yeah. They brought it and said, you are a very good master. He said, stop. Don't give me that. It belongs only to who? To God. That's our Lord. Even our Lord didn't touch it. But he said to the Pharisees, you are the ones who want to justify yourself before men. But the devil brought that temptation for him to be proud. He said, no, I have made myself of no reputation. I don't want any reputation at all. Please give all this glory to God. That's how you humble yourself before God. You give all the glory to God. So he said, none is good, save what? One. And that is God, emphatically. This thing belongs to God. Holiness belongs to God. Purity belongs to God. Whatever I am is what God has made me. Don't give me what belongs to God, for God's sake. I will not share his glory. Neither will I touch his praise. That's why you come to God. You don't come to God with your own praise. Am I clear? Eh? Now, let's hear what the Holy Spirit says. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of what? What is grace? Unmerited favor. Now, what are we going to get in there? That we may obtain what? You see what I'm telling you? Prayer, successful prayer is predicated on a humbled heart that comes to God and not come to God thinking he's somebody. Coming to God and seeking mercy. He says, when you come to this throne of grace, what you will obtain is what? Mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. That's why all those people said, Son of David, have. And each time they said that, he will stop. Do you people get what I'm saying? Huh? And Jesus is the door to God's mercy. Jesus Christ is the door to what? God's mercy. That's why he said, ask in my name. My Father will do. Because I'm the door to his mercy. I'm the door to his mercy. Can we say Jesus is the door to the mercy of God? 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace, that's unmerited favor, or the mercy of God that is where? In Christ is the gate to it, is the door to it. In Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. He is the door to this grace of God. He is the door to this mercy. Grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. And if prayer is predicated on mercy, whosoever asketh what? And God said, don't come to me with evil heart of unbelief that refuses to believe my message. When a man does not want mercy, he's either ignorant and he's proud. And he thinks if he stands at the judgment of God, he will escape. How can you ask God to judge you. You're a mortal man. No, you don't want that. You want what? Mercy. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. If you get these things the Lord is taught, your prayers will work all the time. All the time. And do you know it is God's goodness that leads you to what? Real change of heart. Real change of heart. I'm telling you. You can't force people to change. It's when they experience the love of God, their heart is touched with the same love. And their heart changes to love. Their heart changes to what? Love. And they too begin to love others. I want us to rise up. I want to see what the Lord wants to do this evening.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.